How much did these the elimination, potential elimination of state and local deductions play a role in your no vote?
Well, that it was the entire reason. I had voted for the House budget when it passed the House. The Senate sent it back with a provision which caused a lot of trouble for me and other New Yorkers and some people from states like New Jersey. It specifically targeted the state and local tax deduction. And the three things about tax reform we need to do are get more economic growth, lower the taxes for middle-class families, and help small businesses and businesses in our country create jobs here in the United States. So that's what I'm for, and that's what I'm hoping we can do. We want to shape this final tax bill, though, so that it doesn't penalize taxpayers in districts like mine and in states like mine.
Of course, the counter argument is that states like New York and New Jersey actually these folks are enjoying a subsidy, a benefit that others in other states don't get. Of course, I live in a high state. I live in Jersey, so I understand where you're coming from. But that's the pushback on this. Is there a middle ground for all of this?
Well, and the pushback on that is that we send many more dollars to Washington. We only get about 80 cents back for every dollar we send to Washington and New York. New Jersey only gets about 65 cents back. But that ultimately is not the issue for me. The issue is how do we fairly treat middle-class families in states like New York and New Jersey, Illinois, et cetera. And so I think we are in good faith negotiations with our House leadership, the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, Kevin Brady. He's been very forthcoming about wanting to accommodate us and coming to some type of compromise which we can live with. And so I'm working hard to make sure that happens. But the vote today, I wasn't about to vote for this because it was in essence saying, trust me, and I believe in what Ronald Reagan used to say about the Russians in missile negotiations, trust but verify. Right. So we need verification.
The bottom line, though, is that because of the reconciliation, somehow this is going to have to be revenue neutral when it's scored by the CBO. So we're talking at least $1 trillion has to come from somewhere. And we've seen some pretty interesting ideas pop up because of that. The border adjustment tax. Now, that's dead on arrival. I think it's a good thing.
Yes.
We're hearing this week even about changes to 401ks. Another fifth higher tax bracket. I mean, it feels like there's going to be some sort of, quote, compromise that goes against what voters thought they were voting for in November.
Well, the tax legislation is very complicated. There's 70,000 pages of regulations in this tax code. It's one of the reasons why we have to simplify it, reduce rates, reduce the number of brackets, eliminate a lot of the special interest provisions that are in the tax code. On the state and local tax deduction, though, I point out this has been in existence since 1913. Even when Abraham Lincoln had a temporary income tax during the Civil War, state taxes were deductible against your federal taxes. So this is a principle that's been enshrined in our law for a long time. It doesn't mean that it can't be changed or moderated in some way, but we have to make sure that as we're doing this, we're not penalizing people in states like mine and hardworking taxpayers in New York and other places. So the key is coming up with a compromise that will work for everyone.